are met this year, that period of time designated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a period of return, Shuva Yisrael, return. That means that we take for granted that we have wandered. For one who never left home, he doesn't have to return. We take for granted that during the year, we have left home. And we're asked to return. These aseres yemei tshuva between Rosh Hashanah, Hashem Oiri, Zerosh Hashanah, that day in the year when a Jew who has some contact with Torah Yiddishkeit begins to feel that a light is burning in his heart and lighting the way for him. Rosh Hashanah awakens him to the fact that there's more to life than the daily living that he's been going through an entire year, day after day, as a matter of rote. Even his Torah obligations, Torah, Tefillah, Tzedakah, Mitzvahs Anoshim Melumado, a matter of rote. Azayim Mishinayim giving. Every morning you have to go to shul, you have to daven. But we pay little heed to the words that we express in our tefillahs. And those of us who have zdorim in learning, which is a most wonderful thing, which indeed gives content to life, but again, we get accustomed to this, a daily study period. But to feel not merely every day is something new, but that every moment in living is something new. We're not accustomed to that during the year. Rosh Hashanah brings to our consciousness that there's more to life than we have been feeling throughout the entire year. Hashem Oiri. There's a light that shines in the life of a Torah Jew. What exactly that is, we don't know. Tiku b'chodesh shofar. Blow the shofar. And the Rambam says that we humans don't fathom the reasons for a mitzvah. We do not understand. It's beyond human comprehension to be able to understand what is the purpose of a mitzvah, why Hashem Yisborach in His kindness and goodness has commanded us to perform these mitzvahs. We don't know. But yet, remes yesh bedovo. When you begin to think into it, you begin to feel that the shofar is saying something to us. And what do we feel? Uru yisheni mishnaschem. Awaken you who slumber from your slumber, from your sleep. Awake! That's the call of the shofar. You can't talk to someone who's sleeping and tell him about his duties as a Jew. He doesn't hear what you're talking about. He can't understand it. You're asleep. You're engaged in deep slumber. That's what an entire year represents when you begin to look at it properly. Mishloft. Mishloft mitaken. We are religious Torah Jews. We observe Torah daily. We observe mitzvahs. And yet it's slumber. It's a matter of rote. You're accustomed to doing these things day after day, and you don't even feel what it means to daven. You don't feel what these brachas of Shmini Esrei mean. You don't feel what Psukei Dezimra are when you sing forth the praises of Hashem Yisborach. You don't feel what are the birchas HaKrishma. What are these brachas which precede the saying of Kriya Shema? And the brachas are there in order to make us feel that now I'm going to say Kriya Shema. But we don't even feel what it's all about. And in these brachas, we speak about light, the light of the world, day, night. The day comes to remove the darkness of night. We speak about that in Birkas Krishma. And after that, there follows a broche speaking about the light of Torah. Do we ever stop to think about these things? Sometimes we become so accustomed to it that from the broches we broch. What's he doing, Davna? What are we engaged in? We don't give ourselves thought for these things. Well, isn't that slumber? Must slumber mean only when you're under the covers in bed and asleep with your eyes closed? People can be walking around with their eyes open and engaged in all their business and all their affairs, and in reality all they're doing is sleeping. So the shofar comes along and says, Uru yisheini mishnaschem, awaken from your sleep. V'nirdomi mitarde maschem, that's a deeper sleep. Awaken. After you've awakened, then chipsu b'maaseichem, begin an investigation of what you're doing, of all your actions. Examine, what have I done through the year? What was my davening? What was my benching? What were my business dealings? Were they in accordance with Torah? Did I observe the dinim of taking only the proper amount of profit? Or did I overstep my bounds? And if I did, then I'm a gazlan. Chepshu b'maaseichem. And maybe I was even a greater gazlan than that. What does the business world look like today? Und der frumeri, noch ein davenen. How does he act in his business? Does he remember there in the business that he davened in the morning and that he said, Baruch Ato Hashem? Does Hashem stand before him in his business dealings? He was asleep an entire year. Uru Yishin, awaken. Once you're awake, Chipsu B'maaseich. Make a careful investigation of your actions and of your deeds. Not only in the past, but this very moment when I was awakened from sleep. How do I react? What are my actions now? Chipsu b'maaseichem. Chizru. And go back. Go back to the source of life. Go back to where you have wandered from. Now we, my friends, are accustomed a great deal in our day to talking about the Baal Tshuva movement. And we, the observant Jews, the Shemir Teiru Mitzvah, we don't have to be Baal Tshuva. We have to teach others to be Baal Tshuva. And in reality, the very term Baal Tshuva carries with it a certain stigma. He has to sit in the back. That's a terrible mistake. We are the ones who have to be Baal Tshuva. from the day that Odom Harishon fell and committed the first sin in the history of mankind, we became chaitim. We are sinners. And all of Torah life is designated for one purpose. Come back to where you wandered from. Get back to the madrege of a Odom Harishon lifnei hachet, before he committed that sin. Get back to where man stood as a creature of God, not created through natural processes which Hashem Yisborach has ordained, but created through the handiwork of Hashem Yisborach himself. How great indeed is such a man. And that's why Chazal say, for your mistakel mit seufe oilom vat seufe, Odom Harishon, Yitzir Kapov Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the handiwork of Hashem Yisborach, had the power to envelop and cover all of creation. And then he fell. He permitted himself to answer to human desires, to answer to human nature. You, Yitzir Kapov Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you who stand together with him, look what you've done to yourself. Do you realize what a descent this is from the heights where you stood? And Hashem Yisborach told us then, and in that moment, there started the process of tshuva. And we are called upon, become Bali tshuva. Realize that you're not the great that you think. You have fallen. You have descended. Get back to the top of the mountain. Try to stand where you once stood. And then, as history went on, we reached the stage of Matan Torah. And Hashem Yisborach, in his kindness and goodness, gathered together an entire people, Klal Yisroel, and brought them to Har Sinai. And in that moment, Chazal tell us, when Torah was given to us, Hashem Yisborach raised us to the heights where Odom stood before he fell. And again, Maaseh Yoegel, the golden calf. And we fell from the heights of Matan Torah into the depths of Chet once again. And from that moment on, Klal Yisroel is engaged in an endless, endless process of seeking to return. To the extent that we realize this, we become Bali Tshuva. And then we have something to be proud of. To the extent that we do not realize this, then we talk about, ui, erdach abal tshuva. We're not in order. Things are not as they should be with us. We Torah Jews, our job in life is to be Bali Tshuva. What's the word Baali mean? Baal means master. A master over tshuva, over the return to Hashem Yisborach. And that's not an easy thing, to become a Baal over tshuva. Were we to understand and realize this, our daily lives would be quite different from what they are. And believe me, my friends, I'm not necessarily talking to you. I'm talking to myself, but I'm saying it out loud in order that you may hear what I'm telling myself. Don't for a moment think that I make the mistake of thinking that I don't need these lessons. Vase to a mention who thinks in such terms. And the more we arouse ourselves to realize what it's all about, the more there is hope that we'll reach the top of that mountain, the Ezer Hashem Yisborach. And Hashem Yisborach in his kindness sees the nature of man. He fell once. And when I brought him back and lifted him up, he fell again. And he hasn't reached the heights yet. All he's doing is he keeps falling asleep. Call out through the call of the Shefer. Uru Yesheni. Awaken. Realize that you're asleep. That's the first and greatest thing of Rosh Hashanah. Once you're awakened, if you realize really that you've been sleeping and that now you're no longer sleeping, that so what am I to do in this new state of affairs? Chipshu b'maaseichem. Make a close investigation of what your actions, what your deeds are. To what extent are they in accordance with the will of Hashem Yisborach? And to what extent are they not? During this period of year, we keep talking to Hashem Yisborach in a tefillah that was instituted long, long ago by Chazal themselves. And we speak to him in two titles. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our Sovereign. We address him in two separate terms, both at the same time. Avinu Malkeinu. Herein lies the greatness of Klal Yisroel. We feel that our connection with Hashem Yisborach goes through the feeling of fatherhood. He is my father. He overwhelms me with his love, with his devotion. And at the same time, he is my sovereign. He's not a dictator who's not interested in me but in himself. He is Malkeinu, he is my king. And Malkeinu, my king, the finest definition in that are the words of the Rambam. And who better than he understood how to define terms? Leiv Melech who leiv Klal Yisrael. The heart of the Jewish king. And he's talking there about David HaMelech and such kings, not about the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. The heart of the king in Israel is the heart of Klal Yisroel. That's not the heart of a dictator. That's not the heart of the finest sovereigns on earth. Only a Melech Yisroel has such a heart. A heart which beats to the needs, to the problems of a Klal Yisroel. Leiv Melech who leiv Klal Yisroel. If this is the Melech, the human Melech, how great indeed is Malkeinu Shebashamayim, Melech Malchi Hamlochim. He who is king over all kings. How great is his interest, his love, his devotion to his people, to Klal Yisroel. Avinu refers to fatherhood which displayed itself in giving us a Torah. Hashiveinu avinu l'seiro secho. Return us, our Father, to the Torah which you gave us. One who studies Torah becomes overwhelmed with its depth, with its lessons, and he sees in this the loving kindness of a father who says to a child, "My entire king, otasei daf amen shlem, ze vitliklich menis, vikorveinu malkeinu lavidosech, and bring us nigh and near to you through your Avedo, through our service of Hashem Yisborach." In following through what we study in Torah, to perform the mitzvahs that we are commanded to perform, therein lies the feeling of Malchus Hashem. He is king over me. In that manner, he controls my actions. He has given me in this Torah, which is the Torah of a father, commandments how to go through life. But once it's commanded, I'm obligated to observe the commandment. There you have a melech. There you have a king, a sovereign, David Osecho, who demands service. But this service is not a dictatorial service. It's a service that's for our benefit. But if left to our desires, we would be lost in human temptations. So he gives a commandment. I can't leave it to you, my son. I must command you to it. And then you will see the great benefits of what Torah has in itself. When you will activate the beauty and depth of Torah teaching in a mitzvah, in an act of commandment, in performing the will of Hashem, whether I understand it or not, because mitzvah le'oil nitnu, as Rashi says in 11. The mitzvahs and commandments of Hashem were given to us to be felt as a yoke upon our shoulders. They weren't given to us to say, "Oh, it's so wonderful to do this mitzvah, and therefore I do it because I feel it's so wonderful." Regardless of what you feel, you must do it because Hashem said it must be done. Le'oil nitnu. That's korveinu malkeinu la'vodasech. And when the Jew feels what Torah is through av to the fatherhood of Hashem, what mitzvahs mean through malchus shamayim, through the sovereignty of Hashem, then we begin to feel shiveinu avinu l'serasecho, and when I begin to feel the love and devotion of Hashem Yisborach to me, when I begin to realize that he hasn't left it to my human temptations, but he has forced me into it out of this love, because if left to me, I would fall asleep in a deep slumber. Then I realize, how indeed did I perform these commandments? Was I continually awake? Did I feel what it was all about? When I put on my tefillin in the morning, did I feel chavosh peir? Don the beauty and the crown which only Torah and mitzvahs gives you. Did I feel that? Was I overwhelmed with this feeling? Was I overwhelmed with the pride of walking with this crown upon my head?
We needn't go too far when all of us are that way. We tut on the field, we have a the field, on the field. Aber the field deppers was feel needs. Do we have a feeling in film? Shem Yisborach says, and we ask of him, help us! Help us! Hachzireinu! B'sheshuvo shleimo lefanich. Return us! Turn us back! Back to you! And we don't say that only on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is up for this woman. We don't say that Birkas Shmini Etzer Rosh Hashanah. We say it every day in the year. But we say it while we're asleep. And again I tell you, I'm speaking to myself. We go through that also in a deep slumber. Year after year, we know what it's all about. We're going to have a nice Baltic hair, and he's going to blow the shofar, and it's wonderful. And then if he's a really good Baltic hair, we have something nice to talk about. He was terrific, the Baltic hair. Did we awake from the tears? Did we begin to shudder? Gewalt! Even though geschlossen in der Schuf haben. Did we feel that when we heard the Keula Shofar? We didn't. We don't. That's the way we live our lives. This is the period of year when Hashem Yisborach says to us, Chabzachuf, my king. Wake up. Wake up. And I give you 10 days to be thinking about this. 10 days in which you keep repeating Avinu Malkeinu. 10 days. Every day should be an act of coming closer, feeling more deeply what it's all about. And I know Rosh Hashanah, when we say Avinu Malkeinu, Neir Nerois, Esitern Devent, Sem Gedalie Idat Sitter Akvena. And the day after Sem Gedalie, Zokpen Avinu Malkeinu. And as I say that, Wieses Kumt Yom Kippur, Lani Shrei Nimel Arayim. Where's the in-between? Again, this is a human being. How small is man? Do we ever stop to think and realize this? We claim seinen wir. In a period of year, dedicated and devoted, 10 days, to a realization of kibsu b'maaseichem, and we are so small, that after 2 days, of shouting out to Hashem Yisborach, we become used to it, accustomed to it, and it's like the davening a whole year. To vos tut. Vos tut. What are we to do to make these things actualized? And we cannot say that this is an impossibility. We know there was a Gaon, his name was Rabbi Yisroel Salanter, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Livrocho. And we know, we who studied in Lite in the yeshivas, we know that in that little community Salant, which was as large as a Talamoto, in that little community, during the entire month of Elul, not only Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, the entire month of Elul, the storekeepers in town, the blacksmiths in town, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, everything closed. Umeleftim b'smederish. Umelernd gemore. And he who doesn't understand gemore studies in Yankiv, studies a Parsha Chumash, and he studies a Musa Sefer. Er lernt mit Musa. Und hat sich gestern getrennt. Jeder Eid in Salant. It was a totally different community. It was a community that we spoke. Gewalt. We have to prepare for Yomim HaNeroim. They were also human beings. So what's wrong with us? Why can't we be that way? The closer we are to the comforts and to the luxuries of life, that's the Churban Elul. A Salanter Eid, if he had bread and he had a cup of tea, oh, well, he better get in. He could afford an egg in the morning. Shabbos, I was present in my day in a little town called Meretz. And in my honor, because I was a guest there and I was a yeshiva bocher, and the Balabayis was the father of one of my chaverim in yeshiva in Telz. So lichveidi, we had a piece of meat. It was kamat and giveni moilar ansin. And he told me, giving the flesh, we can't afford flesh on Shabbos. So even Shabbos, we get along just with a piece of fish, doggy of a neat boss of the dog. Very! Sein Warmkeit! Should gebrennt in him the fire von Yiddishkeit! His business was, he was a notary public. But he had kein Fleisch a ganz Woche retten. He had kein Fleisch auf Shabbos. He had sich mit seiner Nefisch gewähren. A yeshiva Woche in gekommen, a Gast in Heus. Is lechove dem Gast. Hat sich angestrengt and he bought a piece of meat. Well, when you're so far removed from the luxuries of life, it's much easier to be awake. Aber einer isst gute Mahlzeiten, good meals, weißt du doch, an noch ein Essen schläft man ein. That's our life. That's what we are. Now, I don't want to advise you to live like that Jew in Meretz did, or even as a Jew in Telz did. Es gesunterheit. But realize, don't permit the luxuries of life to put you to sleep. You have something to do in life. And eating, partaking of nourishment, has one purpose. To strengthen a person to be able to perform his duties as a Jew. Duties of Torah. And duties of Torah are all-encompassing. It doesn't mean merely learning in the morning before the davening itself and putting on tefillin. It means the entire day, whether one is a professional, whether one is in business, whatever one is, that Torah must follow through and be recognized in the manner in which he performs his business. Mit ab dorten kennen sehen, as it is I eat from Torah. In his manner of business, it should be noticeable. And we ourselves know that we're far, far removed from that. When I was in Lita, I heard a story. One of the greats of Lithuania was Reb Simcha Zisl, Ziv, in a little town called Kelab. He was the grandfather, a great-grandfather of our Rabbi Dessler, Zolgazunzai. He's on his way now to Eretz Yisroel. Reb Simcha Zisl Ziv had a son, Reb Nochem Velvel Ziv. He was a businessman in Königsberg. His business was lumber. Lumber business meant that you have to be at the lumber market, at the Holzmark, where the thing is sold. Someone gives a bigger price, someone gives a lower price. That's business. Und dorten eisig mein Geschäft. So Reb Simcha Zisl once visited Königsberg to see how his son lives in Königsberg. His son didn't even know that he was there. And he came back home and said, "Ich sehe, as er noch ein Velvu steht auf dem Holzmark mit Missilische Schorin in Hand." Missilische Schorin is one of the basics in the study of ethics of Musar in Yiras Shamayim. Now, if Reb Simcha Zisl was standing in the Holzmark with that sefer in hand, so he was a very poor businessman, I must tell you. Dorten halt man nicht den sefer in hand. Dorten darf man sehen wegen die Preise. So what did he mean? He meant to say, I see, when he's at the lumber market, he's living and bidding for the lumber. He has passed for Aid. Was it gelernt, Mr. Shishori? I see in all his actions, ethics, Musa. I see in his business manners, Teras Hashem Tmimo, Meshivas Nofesh. Ich habe gesehen, as noch ein Velvel steht auf dem Markt mit Mr. Shishori. Now they were all humans. They weren't malachim. A malach belongs up there, not down here. They were all humans. So a human can live as a Torah requires. It is possible so to do. And not in days gone by of the Vilna Gaon and before him, but not so long ago, just about 100 years ago, in the business world of that age, was possible. So no one can tell us that today it's impossible. Sheker Kozer. It calls merely for being awake. It calls for an interest on our part. Do we wish to live such a life? Do we feel that this is life? Or do we have other definitions for life? That's the problem. And it amounts to Shakespeare's problem. To be or not to be, that is the problem, as Macbeth said. Sein oder nicht sein, das ist das Problem. If I live Torah, I am. If my life does not represent Torah in all facets of living, then I am not. And the result is that in Davnan I am not. In my mitzvahs I am not. In my krishma I am not. And when I say Shema Yisroel, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, I'm thinking about my office, instead of thinking about the oneness and greatness of the Almighty? That's the question. Those Jews that I mentioned in Salam, their problem in life was Hitn Dvar Hashem. Am I observing what Hashem Yisborach requires of me and requests of me? Or am I not? And when a Jew lives daily that way, he has a little handbook and he marks it down. Today I went remiss in this thing, I went remiss in that thing. And at night, before getting into bed, Venta Zechois, he doesn't wait for a Rosh Hashanah Naseres and Mitzvah. Venta Zechois, Heinrich Beine Shalilu, is nicht gewesen, wie es darf zu sein. Help me to live better tomorrow. And I'm not telling you stories. This is the way Jews live in those days in Lithuania, in Poland, in Galicia, in Deutschland. That's the way they live. Got Bichalech in Keshen, and they used to mark down, how did Monday go through? Not how did it go through in my business, but how did it go through in heavenly business? When you live that kind of life, so never has a person worries as to the business world that he's engaged in. He then realizes, am I the one who makes the success? Tipishet. Hashem Yisborach is the one that makes the success. And when you will ask, so how come there are so many who not only don't daven properly, but they don't daven at all. They're not Shemir Shabbos. They're Mechalel Kol Kedesh. From Chasen and Migoyen. How come they're successful in business? If you would but ask such questions, then maybe you would get the answer. When you begin to realize that it is Hashem Yisborach himself who determines success, then who knows why he gave this fellow success? Perhaps it was due to the fact that he did one thing in the past 10 years that Hashem Yisborach considers a mitzvah. But I don't want to see him in my presence upstairs there. So I pay him off here. And I make him a millionaire, a multi-millionaire. That's what you would want to? So that ain't the stuff. A Jew is one who prefers to come upstairs to see what an Olam Haba looks like. The Ribbono Shel Olam, don't pay me for it down here. There's no such thing as we succeed in business. We determine our success. V'zeneisav shel Odom tzuvim loy v'Rosh Hashanah v'Rosh Hashanah. It's determined from one Rosh Hashanah to the next. The Yom Adin is the day when it's determined by Hashem Yisborach from His heavens. And when we Jews would realize this, we would then understand that our business is not to strive for the success. I'm not battling for my desire to be that businessman to receive wasting future handling that I mentioned to have it from business. Das will nicht eventually. But realize that what you do is the amount that Hashem Yisborach demands of you to put into it. And He is the one that gives you the success. Realize this. And when you realize this, then you will strive for another success, which only you can determine, and not Hashem Yisborach. You will then strive to be successful in the business of earning Olam Haba. That's a terrific business, my friends. Oy alavai v'otem in the spiel. Oy dos ha-gishef. This is what this period of year brings to mind, or rather
should bring to mind. And to the extent that it is brought to our minds, to the extent that we feel these things, to that extent do we hope that Hashem Yisborach will favor us with His grace. And I can't help but repeat here what I've repeated a number of times in other places, a lesson that I learned from a businessman. What a terrific lesson in Torah and Yiddish. I learned it in Mexico City, believe it or not. You know, Rosh Yeshiva have also a business. It's called Shnorerai. So one of the places which I used to visit was Mexico City. And we had an alumnus there, a fine young man, Reb David Markovich Zolalangler. Come to Mexico City once, and I hear that there's a Jew who is a multi-millionaire, tremendously successful in business, a worldwide business with its center in Mexico City. The center is two blocks square, made in the middle. So I said to Reb David, you know, I'd like, maybe you can get an appointment with this fellow. After all, I have a duty to try to do the best I can for the yeshiva. Maybe we can get an appointment with him. So we'll make an appointment for 7 o'clock in the morning. At least in Siddur Nefesh to get up 7 o'clock in the morning. And we'll daven before we go. We'll be there 7 o'clock in the morning. Made an appointment. And he gave us an appointment to come. I came in 7 o'clock in the morning and I see that he's on the telephone. And he says to me, Rebbe, Ipanuma. So I remained sitting and I said to my good friend, Reb David Markovich, I'm staying till the telephone conversation is over. Not because I want money. I don't want any money now. I want to ask him something else. And I waited till the conversation was over and he says to me, Rebbe, have you gerät mit einem Salesman meinen in Paris? Wasn't overwhelmed. You'll see, I'm the davenste mensch. The rest men meet the Benish living in Hebrew. It's a lot further than I'm talking to you in Paris. So, after he was finished with this declaration, so I said to him, Herzlichheim, mein Teil. A Lodger, a refugee from Lodz, Poland, sagt mir, wen kommt ihr in Geschäft? Sagt der kimmige Chef, 4 o'clock in the morning. Then I asked him, und sucht mir, wen geht der heimige Chef? Sagt der 11 o'clock bei Nacht. So I said, I have a question to ask. I was shown there is a neighborhood in New Mexico City of the rich. It's called Palonque. And this Jew, Reb David, pointed out to me his home in Palonque. It wasn't a home, not a rich home. A palace. Armoin Melochin, mamish. Maybe Buckingham Palace can compare to it. So I said to him, Zuchtman, mein Teil. As you get a lick from the chef, Elof Azayga Banach, is finster Choshek. Und geht weg von der Heim, 4 o'clock Fatus. Ist wieder finster Heuschach. Für was bräucht as a palace? Ihr seht doch gar nicht im palace. So he says to me, wer ist auf der Gesinn? Ihr meint Familie bräuchte, das ist von meinem Mann. And then he adds, ihr sollt wissen sein, Rebbe, oi, me will matzliach sein in Geschäft, braucht man liegen in Geschäft. If you want to be successful in business, you have to be laying in the business, liegen in Geschäft, totally involved in the business. From early morning till late at night. They read a multimillionaire. So I said to Reb David Markovich, we can go now. I got the biggest lesson. This will be a lesson for a lifetime. Mehr wie alle Geld, wenn er gibt mir ein Million, das wird eine Sache mehr. And from that day on, I keep talking about this lesson. We recite a broche every morning. You have sanctified us with your great mitzvahs. And among them is this mitzvah of La'asoik b'divrei seiro. The broche is not lilmoi divrei seiro, to study divrei teiro, but La'asoik b'divrei seiro. Studying Torah should become an eisek, a geschäft, soll es bei dir werden. In und eben will man zlier sein in geschäft, braucht man doch liegen in geschäft. How can we succeed in this eisek of Torah and of mitzvahs? Just with putting on the tefillin and not even realizing that there were tefillin. But doch liegen in geschäft, totally awake, totally aware of what I'm doing, of what I'm involved in. And then is me matzliach. Then I am successful in my business. And my business is to work out for myself an olam habo. That is not given by Hashem Yisborach unless we work it out. We have to be worthy of it. We have to earn it. Dorten darf ich sein tun. But it has to be eisig. Will me matzliah sein in Geschäft, braucht man liegen in Geschäft. That Geschäftsmann, little did he know how rich he made me with the lesson that he taught me. It's a terrific lesson. And this is the lesson in which we should be involved an entire year. But since we are not, so uru yesheni mishnaske v'nirdomin v'okitsu nirdomin itar demaske v'chipsu b'maaseke. Let's begin to think and worry about our business. And the Rebbeinu Shlomim has been so kind to us that once a year throughout a period of 10 days, he recognizes the fact I'm illegal meeting geschäft. And he reminds us, wake up, get out of the slumber, and begin to think. You have to make a success out of your business of Torah and mitzvahs. Rabbi Shai, if we will so act, if we will so think, there can be no question that Hashem Yisborach in His kindness will grant us that which we need, and only He can determine what we need. If we should have to rely on ourselves in trying to determine what we need, only He will then see what we think are our human needs. We don't know of any needs. Not only do we not realize what are spiritual needs, all human needs are unknown to us. We are lost in slumber, lost in sleep. But if we will react during this period of year as we should, there is no question that Hashem Yisborach will in His kindness and mercy react to us, not as He should, but as He is waiting anxiously. Gewalt, mein Kind, ich will dir doch weisen mein Süßkeit. He's waiting for it. And it will then result in Mechilo, Slicho, Vichatoro, followed by a dont of Sukkis, may Adim le Simche. May the Almighty grant us the schus to be zeche to these wonderful things.